When I was in the sixth grade, I became my best friend's brother-in-law, albeit not in the usual sense. Rather than relying on the more traditional exchanging of wedding vows between two siblings, our families were brought together by the adoption of two golden retriever puppies, Dylan and Marvin. Their mother, who was owned by a mutual friend, had become the subject of an unexpected pregnancy, and the owners had decided that they would give her newborns away for free. I remember the shock I felt when I heard that the Frakes family had decided to adopt Dylan. Every time I had gone over to Ryan's house, I was gripped by a subconscious fear of breaking something valuable or of despoiling their pristine home. How in the world could a dog survive in such an atmosphere? I remember calling Ryan on the day we adopted Marvin. We laughed and joked and talked about how happy we were to be related and to think I didn't even have to marry his little sister, Allie. In those first few months, Dylan and Marvin saw each other often. Steve, Ryan's dad, would stop by our house during his walks with Dylan under the auspices of talking with us, but I think we all knew, even then, the real purpose was to let Marvin and Dylan play, to let them rekindle the brotherhood denied so many other dogs separated from their litter siblings. They would run around our front yard, nipping at each other's tails and pawing at each other's faces in sibling rivalry, joyous in the simple fact of not being separated from each other. Marvin and Dylan soon became ubiquitous sights at any get-together involving our two families. They attended block parties, Saturday morning soccer games, and all the various recreational activities that bring two childhood friends into contact with one another. I distinctly remember one of our soccer games being interrupted for a good 5 minutes as Dylan and Marvin managed to elude our parents and took the opportunity to streak the field in all their canine grandeur. Looking back now, it seems whenever Marvin and Dylan got together, the rest of the world faded into an ancient and unexplored wilderness, a primeval landscape recalling the time when dogs, untethered by the bonds of their human masters, instead would find solace in the companionship of one another, chasing a never-ending horizon, surrendering to the joy of the run. As time passed and the lives of our families began to pull us in different directions, Marvin and Dylan started to see each other less and less. Still, whenever one managed to escape the confines of his home, the result of a gate carelessly left ajar, or of an unsuspecting guest being overtaken by a rampaging mound of golden fur, he would instinctually direct his steps toward the home of his brother. We never worried too much whenever Marvin or Dylan got out, because we knew where they would eventually wind up. If Marvin got out, we would inevitably find him pawing at Dylan's gate. If Dylan got out, our family would typically receive a call at right about the time he showed up on our front porch. Once I moved out of my parents' house, I began to prepare for Marvin's inevitable passing. This once lithe and graceful dog now needed assistance in scaling the 2 feet required to get onto the couch. He panted heavily after a quick walk to the kitchen. His sleep became fitful. He began to lose control of his bodily functions. For several years, when it came time to leave my childhood home, I would make it a point to say goodbye to my childhood dog, fearful I may not have another chance. Marvin died in October of 2009. Although I had been bracing myself for the news for years, I couldn't avoid crying. And yet, through my mourning, I remember thinking about Dylan, wondering if he knew, wondering if he possessed some sort of kindred telepathy, informing him he had lost his brother. As it turned out, Dylan lived for quite a while after Marvin died, but he too was beginning to show the signs of old age. Whereas once he would cover the distance in a span of mere seconds, he now trudged down the sidewalk to our house, embarking on an odyssey destined to disappoint once he discovered that Marvin was no longer with us. Dylan had to be put down in February of 2011. I know the pain Steve must have felt as he said his final goodbye to Dylan, and I can only imagine the reciprocal pain Dylan must have felt as he said his final goodbye to Steve. They had come a long way since their fateful adoption, traveling the meandering causeway of life, grateful for one another's companionship. But the final part of Dylan's journey had to be traveled alone. And as he closes his eyes for the final time, Dylan dreams of sneaking out his backyard and making the long trek to our house once again. He lumbers down the sidewalk, passing the familiar houses and landmarks. He pants heavily, his body straining under the weight of the journey. He turns right on Briarwick and sees the familiar sight of our front yard. He makes his way up our walk, taking the final steps of a long and hopeless pilgrimage that he has repeated countless times before. But this time, when he finally reaches our front porch, Marvin is waiting there to greet him.